السلام عليكم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، حمد عباده الذاكرين الشاكرين، حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين. We continue inshallah in our study group of السيرة العمرية, the biography of Al-Faruq Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him. And inshallah we will study some of the aspect of the personality of Umar ibn al-Khattab tonight. The personality of Umar ibn al-Khattab had many aspects, many attributes that shine through his life and define the person that he is. But one of the most important ones is his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was basically the law where Umar followed, and the way of life that Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, lived according to. And of his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is he kept being an example of how he reminded himself over and over again of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's might and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's torture and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment. And he never exonerated himself. He never thought that he's above and beyond that torment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was always fearful of that torment of Allah. He was always hopeful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reward and forgiveness more than anything else. One of the things that Umar ibn al-Khattab used to do is he would, when he sees a fire or he lights up a fire, Jazakallah khair, thank you very much, brother. When he lights up a fire, he would take his hand, his bare hand, and get it close to the heat of the fire. And he would ask himself, أَلَكَ صَبْرٌ عَلَى هَذَا يَبْنَ الْخَطَّابِ. Can you be patient for that, يَبْنَ الْخَطَّابِ? He reminds himself of the heat of the fire. And he would put his hand there until it hurts. And he reminds himself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has punishment for those who are not fearful of that punishment. Umar ibn al-Khattab used to say, أَكْثِرُوا مِنْ ذِكْرِ النَّارِ فَإِنَّ حَرَّهَا شَدِيدٌ وَقَعْرَهَا بَعِيدٌ وَمَقَامُهَا حَدِيدٌ. He used to say, mention hellfire a lot. Keep mentioning hellfire a lot, because indeed its heat is enormous, is so extreme, and its base is so deep, and it's so far in as a pit, and it is so fierce in its torment. Umar ibn al-Khattab used to hate the most people that praise him. And the horns of propaganda at that time were the poets, as we mentioned before. And poets used to make it some type of making money when they go to someone and praise that leader or that rich man in hope that they will get some financial reward or otherwise. And Umar ibn al-Khattab hated nothing more than that. So one time an Arab came to him, an Arabi, came to Umar ibn al-Khattab, and he was a poet. And Umar ibn al-Khattab was very skeptical of those poets, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الشَّعْرَاءُ يَتَّبِعُهُمُ الْغَاوُونَ, that أَلَا تَرَى أَنَّهُمْ فِي كُلِّ وَادٍ يَهِيمُونَ وَأَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ مَا لَا يَفْعَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described this type of poets, that they say things that they don't mean, and they lie in hope that they will get some financial or otherwise rewards for that. But the time a poet came to Umar ibn al-Khattab and he started saying, Ya Umar al-Khayra juzita al-Jannah, jahiz bunayyati wa ummahunna, uqsimu billahi latafalanna. He said, Umar, I swear for on you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that may Allah give you paradise, that you will give me enough money for my daughters and their mother. And Umar looked at him and he said, فَإِن لَمْ أَفْعَلْ فَمَاذَا يَكُونُ يَا أَعْرَبِي. He said, what if I don't do it? So what would happen? Then the man continued, said, أُقْسِمُ أَنِّي سَوْفَ أَمْضِيَنَّ. I swear that I will walk away, go on my way. just leave you. So Umar said, فَإِن مَضَيْتَ فَمَاذَا يَكُونَ. So what if you leave? So what would happen? So the man said, وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ. He said, وَاللَّهِ عَنْ حَالِي لَتُسْأَلُنَّ ثُمَّ تَكُونُ الْمُسَاءَلَاتُ ثَمَّ وَالْوَاقِفُ الْمَسْئُولُ بَيْنَهُنَّ إِمَّا إِلَى نَارٍ وَإِمَّا إِلَى جَنَّةٍ. He said, if I leave, you will be asked about me in the day of judgment in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will ask you about this man that came asking you, and you let him go without any charity or any reward. And Umar ibn Khattab started crying until his beard was filled with tears. And he said to his servant, give him my only garment. Wallahi, I have nothing else but this garment that I'm wearing, and give it to him. Not because of his poetry, but because of my fear of that day that he is describing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and Umar ibn Khattab, the one that we know how rough he was and how tough he was, his tears were so easy when he was reminded of the punishment and of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the day of judgment. One time a man came to Umar ibn Khattab, and Umar ibn Khattab used to tell people that they can come for their own private affairs and in a time where he's not busy with general Muslim affairs. So one time he was busy doing things that are important for the Muslims in general, and a man came to him and he started asking him about something that is private, that is important for that particular man. So Umar ibn Khattab, as the man kept asking him and insisting that Umar would listen to him, Umar got a little bit tired of him, and he, with his own stick, he pushed him away. He hit him away, and he said, Umar ibn Khattab said, تتركون عمر وهو مقبل عليكم حتى إذا اشتغل بأمور المسلمين أتيتموه. That you leave me alone when I have nothing to do, when I come to you, and now when you see me busy with the affairs of Muslim, you come and bother me and you want me to be busy with your affairs. So the man left Umar and he was complaining, and he walked away. And Umar said, bring him back. So people went and got this man and brought him back to Umar. And Umar gave him the stick, gave him the staff, and he said, hit me. Hit me like I hit you. And the man said, لا يا أمير المؤمنين أدعوها لله ولك. No, I will leave it up to Allah and you. And Umar said, no, ليس كذلك. Hit me. Hit me with like just like I hit you. إما أن تدعها لله وإرادة لما عنده من الثواب وإما أن تردها علي. You either leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his reward, or you hit me back with it. But don't hold it against me. He was fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would ask him, why did you hit this man? And then this man said, أدعوها لله يا أمير المؤمنين. I will leave it to Allah. I'll forgive you, يا أمير المؤمنين. Al-Ahnaf ibn Qais, the Sahabi that was narrating the story, he said, and then I saw Umar, after it was all over, put himself into a corner in the masjid, and he started talking to himself, and he said, يبن الخطاب. He asks himself, when he wants to put himself down, he reminds himself that he is the son of Al-Khattab. يَبْنَ الْخَطَّابِ كُنْتَ وَضِيعًا فَرَفَعَكَ اللَّهِ. You were low and Allah raised you high. وَكُنْتَ ضَالًا فَهَدَاكَ اللَّهِ. And you were misguided and Allah guided you to the right path. وَكُنْتَ ذَلِيلًا فَأَعَزَّكَ اللَّهِ. And you were humiliated and Allah dignified you. ثُمَّ حَمَلَكَ عَلَى رِقَابِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And then Allah put you on over the heads, over the shoulders of Muslims that made you their governor, their ruler. فَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ يَسْتَعْدِيكَ فَضْرَبْتَهُ. A man came asking you for help, so you hit him. He's blaming himself. He's reviewing that position. مَاذَا تَقُولُ لِرَبِّكَ غَدًا إِذَا أَتَيْتَهُ. What do you say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you see him? And then he kept, Al-Ahnaf said, he kept on and on and on, and he was saying to himself, how could you do this, Ya Umar, until I felt like he is the best man on the face of the earth. And I felt so sorry for the way that he was doing to himself. So this is how much he reviewed Umar ibn Khattab, every single act that he would do, even though we know about his nature, how he was so tough about the affairs of Muslims, and he was so concerned that nobody can touch the affairs of Muslim, although when he hurt anybody, he would always review himself. One time, Iyas ibn Salama said about his father Salama, that one time Umar was walking in the marketplace in the souq, and my father was in Umar's way, and Umar pushed him away. and so he can pass and check on the Muslims. He said, next year my father wanted to go to Al-Hajj, to make the pilgrimage to Mecca, and Umar came to him and he held his hand and he said, do you want to go to Hajj, Ya Salama? And Salama said, yes, I want to go to Hajj. And then Umar took a little bag of money and he passed 600 dirham and he gave it to him. And he said, this is for you, so it would help you during Hajj. And Salama said, what is this for? And Umar ibn al-Khattab said, remember when I pushed you last year? This is your compensation for that time that I pushed you. And Salama said, I don't even remember that. Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, I don't even remember that time you pushed me until remind me with it. And Umar said, it kept hanging in my mind and I could never forget it until you forgive me for it. And then he used to say, حاسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحاسبوا. That make the accountability with yourself. Calculate the sins and the reward. Review your deeds yourself before it is reviewed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَزِنُوهَا قَبْلَ أَن تُوزَنُوا. And put yourself on the scale of good and bad deeds. Put your deeds in there before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that. وَتَهَيَّأُوا لِلْعَرْضِ الْأَكْبَرِ. And be prepared for the showing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of your deed. يَوْمَ تُعْرَضُونَ لَا تَخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِيَةً. When you are exposed and nothing could be hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar ibn al-Khattab used to say, لو مات جدي بطف الفرات لخشيت أن يحاسب الله به عمر. That if a goat, small goat died in the Euphrates and in the river of Iraq, that if a small goat died there, I would afraid that Allah would come and ask me about it on the day of judgment and make me accountable because I am Amir al-Mu'mineen. One time Ali ibn Abi Talib narrated that he saw Umar ibn al-Khattab chasing after a camel and out in the desert. And he was running and he's trying to bring the camel back. And Ali ibn Abi Talib looked at him and he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, ayna tadhhab? Where are you going, Amir al-Mu'mineen? He said, Ba'irun nadda min ibli sadaqa fa'atlubu. He said, this ba'ir, this camel, is from the charity money. It's a custody. It is amana. It is something that the trust for the Muslims. And I have to go get it. And Ali ibn Abi Talib said, أذللت الخلفاء بعدك. You just make the ones that come after you very tired, trying to do what you are doing. And then he said, يا أبا الحسن لا تلمني. أبا الحسن is the title of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He said, Do not blame me. والذي بعث محمدا بالنبوة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لو أن عناقا. If a goat or a small camel أخذت بشاطئ الفرات لأخذ بها عمر يوم القيامة. That if that small animal is to drown in the Euphrates and I know and I can do something about it, then Allah would come and make me accountable for that on the day of judgment. Umar ibn al-Khattab used to review his own deed and always fearful and always observant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, watchful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over him. And as we know, لا يأمن مكر الله إلا القوم الفاسقون, that only the unbelievers, only the rejectors of Allah feel safe in the presence of Allah, or feel like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask them, or they will not slip into sin. And one example of that is this story that happened after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conquered Persia to the Muslims, and the loot came to Medina, and in that were the treasures of Kisra, the emperor of Persia. And in there was his crown and his bracelets and all these jewelry and gold that he had. And we remember how Umar ibn al-Khattab brought Suraqa, the one that chased after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the day of Hijrah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised Suraqa that he would be wearing the bracelets of Kisra. And Umar made Suraqa wear the bracelets of Kisra and show it to the people of Medina. And then he brought it back. And then he said, put all of that in front of me. So all these treasures were in front of Umar. And he started looking at it. And he said, Bakhin Bakhin. Bakhin Bakhin in Arabic said, wow, I mean, it's a word of sorrow. It's a word of this is worthless. أعرابي من بني مدلج. This Bedouin man of Mudlaj, عليه قباء كسرى وسراويله وسيفه ومنطقته وتاجه رب يوم يا سراقة. He said, this Arabi, this Bedouin is wearing the jewelry of Kisra, is wearing the crown of Kisra, is wearing the bracelets of Kisra, is wearing the shoes of Kisra. What a day, what a day, ya Suraqa. And then they saw Umar sad and tearful and feeling so humbled in front of Allah. And people looked at Umar, and then he started saying, ya Allah, Allahumma innaka mana'ta hadha rasulaka wa nabiyyak. That you did not give this, you didn't show this on the day when the Prophet ﷺ was alive. That you did not deliver these treasures when the Prophet was alive. وَكَانَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكَ مِنِّي وَأَكْرَمَ عَلَيْكَ مِنِّي. And the Prophet is more beloved to you than me. And he's more, has more status in your eyes than I am. وَمَنَعْتَهُ أَبُو بَكْرٍ. And then you didn't give it to Abu Bakr. And he was also better than me. And he is more beloved to Allah than me. Then you gave it to me. So he said, فَأَعُوذُ بِكَ أَن تَكُونَ أَعْطَيْتِنِيهِ لِتَمْكُرَ بِي. And I take refuge that you gave it to me, so I would slip into sin. That this may be a test for me, that I would be so arrogant and proud and boastful, and I would slip into sin. And he kept crying and crying, feeling the weight of this burden that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put on him, until Abdul Rahman said, Ibn Auf, that everybody in that place was crying for the crying of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Now, instead of feeling so proud, he felt so humbled, and he felt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing him with this victory, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing Umar ibn al-Khattab with these treasures. And this is how he looked at all these events. And that's what made the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one of the greatest attributes of this man, Umar ibn al-Khattab. May Allah be pleased with him. The second attribute of Umar ibn al-Khattab that we will study tonight, inshaAllah, is his zuhd. Zuhd is his carelessness about what's in this world, about what this in this life. And he's looking forward, and he's knowing that the real hayah is in the real life, is in the hereafter. One story narrated about that is narrated on Salim ibn Abdullah. Salim ibn Abdullah came to Umar ibn al-Khattab, and he looked at what he was eating, and he saw rough bread, water, and some dates. And here is the man that now his armies are in the east and the west and holding all these powers and the treasures. And then he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, you deserve to eat better than this. You can do better than this food. And Umar ibn al-Khattab said, والله ما نعبأ بلذات العيش أن نأمر بصغار المعزى أن تصمت لنا ونأمر بلباب الخبز فيخبز لنا ونأمر بالزبيب فينبذ لنا في الأسعان حتى إذا صار مثل عين اليعقوب أكلنا هذا وشربنا هذا. He said, it's not hard for me to ask for small baby goats so they would be slaughtered and they would be cooked, and they would be cooked with butter, and they would be, raisins would be thrown. And he started actually describing a recipe, and he said, then we would eat from this and drink this date juice and all of that. So the man said to Umar ibn al-Khattab, wallahi innaka ya amir al-mu'mineen bi tayyib al-ta'am ila khabir. He said, wallahi ya amir al-mu'mineen, you know what tastes good, you know that the delicious, he made them drool, he made them feel like this is delicious food. And then he said, Umar ibn al-Khattab said, وَلَكِنَّنَا نَدَعُهُ لِيَوْمٍ يَقُولُ فِيهِ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا. Said, we leave that to a day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is the day that you feel, that you see every nursing mother is distracted from her infant, and every one that carries weight would put the weight away. And he said, let me tell you my story, he said to this Sahabi. He said, I was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, كنت مع رسول الله sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فكنت خادمه وجلواذه. I was his servant and I was his soldier. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let them pass away. Until subhanahu wa ta'ala حتى توفي وهو عني راض. And he was pleased with me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pleased with my behavior. And then he said, and then Abu Bakr came. فكنت خادمه وجلوابه. So I was Abu Bakr's servant and I was his soldier. إذا شاء أمسكني وإن شاء أطلقني. Whenever he wanted me, he would hold me, and whoever he wanted to send me for something, he would send me for something. Until he died. And he was pleased with me. And he was happy with my deeds during his time. He said, فأخشى إن تركت سنتهما أن لا أكون معهما. So I am afraid if I left the way of life that they lived, then I would not be with them on the day of judgment with them. And it is narrated about Umar ibn al-Khattab that when he was making tawaf around the Kaaba, that his garment has 12 patches, 12 patches as old and as rotted as it was. And one time on the Friday khutbah, Umar ibn al-Khattab was late and people were waiting in the masjid. And then when he came, he apologized to them and he said, إِنَّمَا حَبَسَنِي ثَوْبِي هَذَا. That my garment is why I'm late. Because I had to wait, I have only one garment, and I washed it for the Friday, for the Jum'ah. And I was waiting until it dries. So this is Amir al-Mu'mineen, has only one garment that he can come up to people with. SubhanAllah. And the way he used to sleep, And on the way to Hajj and back from Hajj, he would have a small rug, an old rug, and he would sleep on it under some tree. And that continued in his life. And we remember the famous story when a messenger from Kisra came to Medina. And he was looking, where is Amir al-Mu'mineen? He is used to Kisra and these kings. He was a messenger of a king. So he would go to Qaisar, he would go to these kings, and he would see the luxury, the palaces, the silk, the gold. Where is Umar? Where is this man that is conquering everything? They say, Amir al-Mu'mineen, yeah, he's out there. And then he would see and seek and didn't find anything. And then he found a man under a tree on a rug and asleep. And they said, this is Umar. And then he walked, no guards, no bodyguards, no soldiers, nothing. This is a man, regular man with a rugged rug, and then he said the famous words, "Adilta fa'aminta fanimta." You were just, and then you were safe. You felt safe for your justice, and then you could sleep peacefully, ya Umar. And that was his way of life. One time, his own daughter Hafsa, bint Ummul Mu'mineen, may Allah be pleased with her, came to him and he said, why are you living like this, my father? Why are you living this rough life? وَقَدْ أَكْثَرَ اللَّهُ الْخَيْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now gave Muslims everything. Muslims now rich. They have all these treasures. He said, why don't you eat better and wear better clothes? She was feeling for her father. And then he said, سَأَخْصِمُكِ إِلَى نَفْسِكِ. I will let you argue with yourself. I will let you reply to yourself. He said, do you remember your husband, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do you remember what he ate? And do you remember what he wore? And do you remember where he slept? And he kept on and on until she started crying, feeling the memory of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لِيَ صَاحِبًا. I had two companions, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr. سَلَكَا طَرِيقًا فَإِنْ سَلَكْتُ الشَّدِيدَ لَعَلِّي أَنْ أُدْرِكَ مَعَهُمَا عَيْشَهُمَا الرَّخِيمَ. If I'm rough with myself now, maybe I would be with them when they have the good life, meaning in the hereafter. And this was his look at this life. This is what Umar saw in this al-hayat al-dunya, saw nothing. So a way to get to the akhirah. And so the way of life here as nothing of any material importance, and everything he would save till the hereafter. Another important attribute in the personality of Umar ibn al-Khattab was his humbleness. Umar ibn al-Khattab was not arrogant, was not a boaster. Umar ibn al-Khattab, one time, a group came from Iraq to visit their Khalifa, to visit their Amir al-Mu'mineen. And among them was the Sahabi Al-Ahnaf ibn Qais. Now Al-Ahnaf ibn Qais is one of the important Sahaba, and he was an important ambassador to Al-Iraq. So they saw a man with a bucket of tar. And tar is a treatment for the skin diseases of animals. And they used to paint the animals with tar. And they see this man just painting a camel with tar. And they look, and this is Umar. Umar ibn al-Khattab himself is painting this animal with tar and treating the skin. And then he looked to them and he saw Al-Ahnaf ibn Qais, an important Sahabi. And he said, Ya Ahnaf, ضَعْ ثِيَابَكَ وَهَلُمَّ أَعِنْ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He said, come and help me, Al-Ahnaf ibn Qais. Now here is the governor of Iraq, and Amir al-Mu'mineen want to paint this camel with tar. And then a man came to them, he said, يَغْفِرُ لَكَ اللَّهُ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. May Allah forgive you, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. فَهَلَّا تَأْمُرُ عَبْدًا مِنْ عَبِيدِ الصَّدَقَةِ أَنْ يَكْفِيكَ. Can't you order one of the slaves, one of the servants, to come and do this work for you? And Umar stopped and looked at the man and he said, وَأَيُّ عَبْدٍ أَعْبَدُ مِنِّي. What slave to Allah is more slave than I am? What servant is more servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than me? أَنَا الْأَحْنَفُ. And Ahnaf ibn Qais, إِنَّهُ مَنْ وَلِيَ أَمْرَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ يَجِبْ عَلَيْهِ لَهُمْ مَا يَجِبُ عَلَى الْعَبْدِ لِسَيِّدِهِ فِي النَّصِيحَةِ وَأَدَاءِ الْأَمَانَةِ. He said, when the one that accept the duty to govern the Muslims, accept the duty of taking care of the Muslims, has to accept what a slave has for his master. That I am the slave of the Muslims. He said, from nasiha, from doing the good advice, wa ada' al-amana, and doing the trust. And this ibl, this camel is from the sadaqah. So it belongs to the Muslim. And I am a servant to the Muslim. And it is my duty to do it in my own. And Umar ibn al-Khattab was always humble, and he knew his status among Muslims. And he would not let anybody come close to him and trying to boast him off and trying to tell him things that he's not. Jubair ibn Nufayr said, I was with Umar ibn al-Khattab, and Awf ibn Malik, another important Sahabi, was there. And people came to Umar ibn al-Khattab and they said, مَا رَأَيْنَا رَجُلًا أَقْضَى بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا أَقْوَلَ لِلْحَقِّ وَلَا أَشَدَّ عَلَى الْمُنَافِقِينَ مِنْكَ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They said, and they said, what they said was really true, they meant it. They said, we did not see a man who's more just and fair than you, يا أمير المؤمنين. And we have not seen anybody that says the right words, the straight truth, other than you, يا أمير المؤمنين. And we have not seen any man that is stronger and rougher and tougher on those munafiqeen, on the hypocrites, than you, يا أمير المؤمنين. And Awf ibn Malik got angry and they said, كَذَبْتُمْ وَاللَّهِ. No, that's not true. You are telling a lie. I mean, he is with Amir al-Mu'mineen and they're saying things that are known about Umar ibn al-Khattab. He said, لَقَدْ رَأَيْنَا بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. No, there is somebody else other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they said, who is that? Who is that you're talking about? And he said, Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr is better than what you are saying about Umar. And Umar said, صَدَقَ عَوْفٌ وَكَذَبْتُمْ. He said, عَوْف is truthful, and you are not truthful. You are not telling the truth. وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ كَانَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ أَطْيَبَ مِنْ رِيحِ النِّسْكِ وَأَنَا أَضَلُّ مِنْ بَعِيرِ أَهْلِي. He said, Abu Bakr was better than the smell of musk, than so pure, so beautiful. When I was more misguided than the animal living in my parents' house, in my family's house, than the ba'ir, the camel of my family. And he means that Abu Bakr was before him, and he was more closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam than he is. The story that we mentioned before, and it's beautiful. We continue. We will repeat it, inshallah, because it shows the humbleness of Umar ibn al-Khattab. One time, Umar ibn al-Khattab, without warning, gathered people for the salah, for the masjid, and got up on the minbar. And he said, أيها الناس, لقد رأيتني أرعى على خالات لي من بني مخزومة فيقبضن لي قبضة من التمر أو الزبيب فأظل يومي وأي يوم. He said, oh people, I used to be a shepherd for my aunts, and I would work all day hard, and they would give me a fistful of dates. And he came down the minbar, and that was his khutbah. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf was in the masjid, and he said, "Wallahi ma zidta ya amir al-mu'minin illa an qamma'ta nafsak." He said, "You did nothing but you shamed yourself. You embarrassed yourself. Why are you doing this? Why are you telling people that you worked all day for a fistful of dates?" And he said, "Wayhaka ya ibn Auf. Listen to me, ibn Auf. Inni khalawt. I was by myself, and myself started talking to me. I started thinking to myself. Anta amir al-mu'minin. You are Amir al-Mu'mineen, you are al-Khalifa. فَمَنْ ذَا أَفْضَلُ مِنْكَ? Who is better than you? فَأَرَدْتُ أَنْ أُعَرِّفَهَا نَفْسَهَا. I wanted to teach myself a lesson about who really it is. It is this shepherd that used to work all day for the fistful of dates, so he would not have any arrogance. So he remind himself who he is, and not think that he is above people and above creatures. And another attribute of the personality of Umar ibn al-Khattab is his patience. We know that Umar, what is known about Umar, and sometimes we laugh about that, is that he was so rough and so tough, and he would hit before he asked. But that's not the truth about Umar. Umar had many stories showing how patient he was. He was rough and tough when it comes to the matters of Islam, to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when it came to his own personality and his own rights, he was patient. And this is a story that illustrates that. Uyaynah ibn Hisn is one of al-mu'allafat qulubuhum. Uyaynah ibn Hisn, one of the late Muslims, and he was one of the ones that always have to be paid off to stay a good Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give him some of the money, and the Sahaba did the same thing after him. So he was an elite of his tribe. He always wanted to keep peace with him. So one time came, and he was with his nephew. His nephew was Al-Harr ibn Qais. And they went to Umar. And Umar hates to do this thing about paying people off a lot. And he maybe did not pay him as much as the Prophet before him or Abu Bakr. So the man came to Umar ibn al-Khattab. And Ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas narrates, he said, Al-Hurr and Uyayna came to visit Umar. And when Uyayna came to, walked into Umar's place, and everybody was there, and he is Amir al-Mu'mineen, he said, Ihi ibn al-Khattab, oh son of Khattab. Now when you mention somebody like that, you're not really being respectful. فَوَاللَّهِ مَا تُعْطِينَ الْجَزَلْ وَلَا تَحْكُمُ فِينَا بِالْعَدْلِ. He said, do not give us enough. That means you are a stingy person. And you do not govern with fairness and justice. That you are not a just ruler. And Umar started feeling some anger. And then Al-Hur, the nephew of this man, he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, قال الله سبحانه وتعالى, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. He said, Allah said to his prophet in the Quran, take with forgiveness. Take people with forgiveness and enjoin what is right, the right things. وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Leave the ignorant alone. And then he said about his uncle, he said, وَإِنَّ هَذَا مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. My uncle is an ignorant man. And Umar, when he heard the verse, the ayah in Al-A'raf, when he heard that, he said, like, he was just calmed down immediately. And he did not become angry of this man that accused him. I mean, Umar was known, I mean, his legacy is his justice and fairness. And that's the thing that he cared about the most. And this man was accusing him of being stingy and unjust, and he did not angry, and he forgave the man. So his anger was mostly for things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is right, not his own. When he was insulted in front of everybody, he did not become angry, and he listened to the voice of reason with Al-Hurr ibn Qais. We, inshallah, move on to research some of the social aspect of how Umar organized the social life in the Muslim Ummah, in the Muslim government. One of the things that is known about Umar is how much he cared about women and the Muslim women in Islam, how much he recognize the rights of women and the duties that women have on men in the society in general. And there will be, inshallah, a few stories about all how Umar cared about the affairs of the Muslim women. One time, Talha ibn Ubaidillah, the companion, saw Umar ibn al-Khattab walking away from his house at night. Now Umar used to do this thing called al-asas, which is really going around at night and checking things out. It's like the police patrol, the oldest form of that type of patrol. And Umar, he said, I saw Umar go into that house and then walking out of that. And then that morning, Talha said, I wanted to check things. What does Umar have to do with that house? He said, I wanted to check things out. I wanted to see what is Amir al-Mu'mineen doing there. And then I walked there and there is an old blind woman that's sitting there. And he said, Assalamu alaikum. What ma balu hadha rajul? What's up with this man that comes to you at night? She said, I don't know who he is, but he comes at night and he cleans my tent and he prepares my food and then he leaves. And he does that over and over again every night. And then Talha started blaming himself for following Umar, and he said, "Thakalatka ummuk." He's cursing himself. "A'atharatu Umara tuttaba." You follow Umar, you're checking on Umar, you want to see what Umar is doing. Here's what Umar is doing, taking care of all people at night. One time, out of his respect to people that accuse Muslims of not being respectful to women, need to hear this story. Umar ibn al-Khattab walked out of the masjid, and with him was a Muslim called Al-Jarud al-Abdi, and he is narrating this. And there was a woman standing, an old woman standing by the masjid, and she said, Ya Umar, O Umar, عَهِدْتُكَ وَأَنْتَ تُسَمَّى عُمَيْرًا. I remember you when you were called Umayr. Umayr is like a little Umar. فَلَمْ فِي سُوقِ عُقَاظَ تُذَعِرُ الصُّبْيَانَ بِعَصَاكِ. You used to chase after kids with your own stick. You used to beat those little kids. فَلَمْ تَذْهَبِ الْأَيَّامَ حَتَّى سُمَّيْتَ عُمَرًا. And now you become Umar, from little Umar to a big Umar. And then, وَلَمْ تَذْهَبِ الْأَيَّامَ حَتَّى سُمِّيتَ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And now you are called Amir al-Mu'mineen. She's talking to him like this, and this man is, who is this woman? And she said, فَاتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِي الرَّعِيَّةِ. Fear Allah in your subjects. Watch, be watchful for Allah. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ مَنْ خَافَ الْوَعِيدِ قَرُبَ عَلَيْهِ الْبَعِيدِ. Those who fear the promise and the punishment of Allah, then they would be close to the day of judgment. وَمَنْ خَافَ الْمَوْتِ خَشِيَ الْفَوْتِ. And those who fear death, they would be fearful that they will be miss out, that they will miss out on good deeds. It means that always remember that day of judgment. And then the man looked at her and he said, أَكْثَرْتِ أَيَّتُهَا الْمَرْأَةُ عَلَى أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. You're being so rough with Umar. What did he do to you? You're giving him all of this lecture. And Umar said, دَعْهَا. No, let her. Let her say more. He said, don't you know who she is? And the man said, no, I don't know who she is. He said, هذه خولة ابن ثعلبة التي سمع الله لها من سبع سماوات. This is the woman that Allah heard what she had to say above the seventh heaven. This is the woman that in Surah Al-Mujadala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قد سمع الله قول التي تجادلك في زوجها وتشتكي إلى الله والله يسمع تحاوركما. That Allah heard her complaints about her husband. This is about the incidents of Zihar. I'm not going to go into all of that. But he said, Allah mentioned this woman in this Quran. And he said, فَوَاللَّهِ لَوْ أَنَّهَا وَقَفَتْ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. Wallahi, if she stood here lecturing me until night comes, مَا فَارَقْتُهَا إِلَّا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ وَأَرْجِعَ إِلَيْهَا. I would only go to pray and then I'll come back to finish the lecture that she would give me. He said, I would listen to this woman. And that was his respect to Khawla bint Thalaba. And then another thing that Umar ibn Khattab said about women is when they're proposed to, when somebody proposes to their family, he said, لا تكرهوا فتياتكم على الرجل القبيح فإنهم يحببن ما تحبون. He said, do not force your daughters to marry an ugly man if they don't want to marry that particular man, because they like what you like. You go out and you try to marry good-looking women. Also, do not force your girls to marry somebody that they do not like. and he would defend the rights of women to not do that. A man was about to divorce his wife, and he came to take the permission of Umar, and Umar said, "Why you want to divorce her?" And he said, "I don't like her anymore." ألا أحبها؟ فقال عمر أو كل البيوت بنيت على الحب فأين الرعاية والتذمم؟ He said, "Is it all based on this love, on this physical thing? Where is care? Where is caring? And where is mercy? And where is custody of women?" And he did not let that man divorce his woman. He said, "Go and take care of her and have this relationship that is above what you are talking about." One of the things that are known about Umar about taking care of women is the women, the wives and daughters of soldiers that are going out in jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar, he said in this khutbah that we started, that he started his khilafah with, that "I will take care of your families when you're away." And that he did. He would consider himself the caregiver for the women that were left behind. And what he would do is he would have some sort of a round on them, and he would knock on the door one by one. "Ala kunna haja? Do you need anything? Do you want anything?" And he would check on these women, and he said, "Wa ayyatukunna turidu an tashtari shay'an fa inni akrahu an tukhda'na fil bay'i wa shira." He said, "Let me know if you want me to buy something for you, because you're a woman. If you go to the marketplace, you may be cheated." So what he would do is he would gather servants and children from these houses, and he would have a list of their what they want, their grocery, their needs, and he would go to the market. And he is Amir al-Mu'mineen coming to the market. Now who's going to cheat Amir al-Mu'mineen? And he would buy them whatever they need, and he would go distribute that back to the houses. He did even more than that. When the messenger comes from the battlefield, they will bring the letters. And Umar was literate. Umar used to read. So he would take the letter and he would be the mailman. And he would go deliver the letter to the house, and he would knock on the door. And he would ask the women of the house, do you read, or do you want me to read it to you? Now, literacy was very common. So he would read them the letters. And then he said, "In 3 days I'm sending the mailman back." So he comes in and he writes the letters from the wife to the soldier in his own hands. And she would dictate that letter to him, and Umar will do that for these women. And he would take care of those families where the husbands and the brothers and the sons were away. Another important legacy of Umar ibn al-Khattab, and this is wallahi subhanallah, this is something that I personally want to learn, of how to evaluate men. How Umar looked at men. How if Umar wants to evaluate a man, how would he do this? And he had a scale, he had a system. And here is the lessons of Umar ibn al-Khattab that is so beautiful. He said, لا تعجبنكم طنطنة الرجل. Don't listen to the noise that people make, the loud speech and the noisy people that are full of talk. ولكن من أدى الأمانة. Those who are trustworthy and pay the things that they're trusted with. وَكَفَّ عَنْ أَعْرَاضِ النَّاسِ. And they do not make غيبة or backbiting, and they don't talk of anybody else's mistakes or negatives. فَهُوَ الرَّجُلِ. That is the real man. That is the man that I would respect. Another saying of Umar, he said, لَا تَنْظُرُوا إِلَى صَلَاتِ امْرِئٍ وَلَا صِيَامِ. Don't evaluate somebody by their prayer and by their salah and by their siyam, by their fasting. ولكن انظروا إلى عقله وصدقه. Look at they make sense of their intelligence and their truthfulness. That's how you should evaluate men. And he said, إني لا أخاف عليكم أحد رجلين. There are two kinds of men I'm not afraid. I don't be afraid of. مؤمنا قد تبين إيمانه. Faithful, that his faith and his belief and his trustworthiness is obvious. وَكَافِرًا قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ كُفْرُهُ. And an unbeliever or a liar that is known to be that way. He said, وَلَكِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ مُنَافِقًا. What I am afraid of, what I fearful for is a munafiq, is a hypocrite. يَتَعَوَّذُ بِالْإِيمَانِ. Takes refuge, hides behind the mask of iman. وَيَعْمَلُ لِغَيْرِهِ. But his deeds is for something else other than that iman. A man came to Umar and wanted to become a witness on something, in a judgment. So Umar wanted to make sure that this man who was to want is becoming a witness is a credible witness. And it's actually in the criminal justice, as they today look at the witnesses and they make sure they're credible. So he wanted somebody to vouch for this man. And a man came, he said, أَنَا أَشْهَدُ لَهُ بِمَا يُزَكِّيهِ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. I would vouch for this man. I would tell you that he is a good man. You should listen to his testimony. And Umar asked this man, he said, أَنْتَ جَارُهُ فِي مَسْكَنِهِ. Are you his neighbor? Do you know him? Like, are you his neighbor and next door? He said, no, I'm not his neighbor. He said, أَعَاشَرْتُهُ يَوْمًا فَحَرَفْتَ حَقِيقَةَ أَمْرِهِ. Are you just so close to him? You work together, you live together, you know his. سافرت معه يوما السفر والاغتراب محك الرجال. Have you traveled with him? And traveling in those days, brothers, sisters, is not a two-hour trip to Washington. Traveling is you travel with someone, you eat with them, you live with them for months, for days and weeks on end. And he said, no. And Umar looked at the man. He said, لعلك رأيته في المسجد قائما يصلي. Maybe you know him in the masjid, like when he prays. And the man said, yeah, that's how I know him. He said, اذهب فأنت لا تعرفه. Go, you don't know this man. To come and vouch for someone, it's not enough just to see him praying and raising and fasting. You have to know men very well. So that's how Umar evaluated men, by knowing them on day-to-day basis. That's how you can vouch for someone. And the way that Umar ibn al-Khattab evaluated men and then gave them their status that they need is not always what it is on the surface. And a story for that is how he rewarded people but by what he thinks they are is the story of Uday ibn Hatim al-Ta'i. Uday came to Umar ibn al-Khattab in a group, a delegation of Tayyib. And there were 2,000 of them. And he came to in a group, a delegation of Tayyib, but Umar ibn al-Khattab would give each one of them about 2,000 dirham as a reward. And Uday ibn Hatim said, every time I come close to him, he turns his face and ignore me. Like he's evading me, he's avoiding me. And then I would move to the place where I would be in front of him, and he turns his face the other way, and I would move, be this way, and he would like avoid me. And then I sat right in front of him, and I said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, أتعرفني? Couldn't you recognize me, Amir al-Mu'mineen? I mean, Uday is like the elite of Tayyib. And Umar said, he laughed until he fell on his back. Umar continued laughing until he fell on his back. He said, Naam, Ya Uday. Yes, I remember you. Wallahi inni la'arifuk. Yes, I know you. Amanta idh kafaru. You believed when they rejected. I know that you're better than them. Wa aqbalta idh adbaru. You came to us when they were running away from Islam. Wa wafayta idh ghadaru. And you were trustworthy when they betrayed. Now remember, Tayyi' was one of the tribes that went into Ridda, that went against Islam in the rebels in the days of Abu Bakr, except for this man who actually convinced the whole tribe to come back to Islam. He said, I remember who you are. I know who you are. وَإِنَّ أَوَّلَ صَدَقَةٍ بَيَّضَتْ وَجْهَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَوُجُوهَ أَصْحَابِهِ صَدَقَةَ طَيِّئِ. You brought the biggest charity to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that was the charity of طَيِّئِ. And then apologized to him, and he said, إِنَّمَا فَرَطْتُ لِقَوْمٍ أَجْحَفَتْ بِهِمُ الْفَاقَ وَهُمْ سَادَةُ عَشَائِرِهِمْ لِمَا يَنُوبُهُمْ مِنَ الْحُقُوقِ. I was only giving those who are responsible for many people, and they want to give away because they have rights and they have obligations for their people. And I was not ignoring you, not knowing who you are. And I was not giving you the money, meaning I would not give you the money so I would belittle your status. I know who you are and I have it in my heart. But don't let the money be the scale that I am honoring you with. And Uday said, وَلَا أُبَالِي إِذَنْ. If that's what it is, then I don't care. Then that's fine. He said, as long as you know who I am, you know my real Islam, my real faith. One of the stories, actually we may need to leave this story of Abdullah ibn Hudhafa. How much time do we have? Oh, okay, inshallah, we can do this, inshallah. We're talking about how Umar evaluates people and how Umar would honor people. And one of the Sahaba that Umar ibn al-Khattab honored in a big way in Medina was a Sahabi called Abdullah ibn Hudhafa. Now he started kissing Abdullah ibn Hudhafa's head, and he ordered everybody in Medina to kiss Abdullah ibn Hudhafa's head. And this is a sign of utmost respect for this man. And that means Umar honored this man so much. What did this man do? Here's the story of Abdullah ibn Hudhafa al-Sahmi. Abdullah ibn Hudhafa was captured by the Byzantine and in one of the battles. And he was taken to Caesar. And he was taken to the capital. He was taken to Caesar. And Caesar wanted with a group of prisoners. And Caesar wanted to see what is with these Muslims. Why are they so tough and so victorious, and how much they adhere, why they're so adherent to this religion. And he wanted to test Abdullah. He wanted to break him and break his faith and break his solid behavior. And he said, Abdullah, تنصر وأنا أشركك في ملكي. He said, you become Christian and I will share with you my kingdom. I will make you some type of a governor or something. وأزوجك ابنتي. And I will marry my daughter to you if you become a Christian. He is a Muslim leader. He said, if you become a Christian, I will do that for you. So Abdullah looked at him and he said, لو أعطيتني جميع ما تملك وجميع ما تملكه العرب على أن أرجع عن دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم طرفة عين ما فعلت. He said, if you give me your entire kingdom and everything that all the Arabs had, so I would not adhere to the religion of the Prophet Muhammad for a blink of an eye, not forever, just for one blink of an eye, I would not do it. He said, إذن أقتلك. He said, I will kill you. He said, أنت وذاك. Whatever you want. So he took him and he locked him up. And he starved him. Starved him for days on end until he was near death. Then he said, bring him pork and wine. And let that food and drink come to the cell of Abdullah ibn Hudhafa. Test. Now it is halal for Abdullah to eat that and drink that. Because it is a makhmasa. It is a famine. He's about to die. So they said, eat. He didn't want to break his religion. He said, you're doing something that is haram. And then Abdullah looked at them and he said, I will not eat this. I will not drink this. I will die. And they said, ما منعك أن تأكل? He said, أما إنه لقد حل لي. It is halal. I can eat this. ولكني لم أكن لأشمتك بي. And I will not let you feel that you broke my faith and my iman. Then Qaisar said, bring him. Bring him down. He brought another brother of his, another prisoner that was captured. And he ordered a big bowl, big kettle, filled with water. And they say, heat the water. So he started heating that water until it boiled and it got into a very high degree of boiling. And they said, throw that man in there. So they throw the other prisoners and boiled until, and they cooked the man until his bones were obvious, were apparent, and his flesh was peeling off his skin, and the man died crying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. And then he looked at Abdullah ibn Hudhafa, and he said, you're next. You will be thrown in that boiling water next, if you don't become a Christian. So Abdullah started, his tears started coming down. And as they were taking him to throw him in the water, and Qaisar said, great, bring him back, he's broke. I broke him. I broke his soul. He's crying. And he said, Ma yubkik, why are you crying? And then Abdullah looked at him and he said, إِنَّمَا بَكِيتُ لِأَنَّ نَفْسِي إِنَّمَا هِيَ نَفْسٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. I'm crying because I have only one soul, one life to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تُلْقَى فِي هَذَا الْقِدْرِ السَّاعَةِ لِلَّهِ. It's only one soul, one self, one life that I can give to Allah in this boiling water. He said, فَأَحْبَبْتُ أَن يَكُونَ لِي بِعَدَدِ كُلِّ شَعْرَةٍ فِي جَسَدِي نَفْسٌ تُعَذَّبْ بِهَذَا الْعَذَابِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. I wish that for every hair in my body, I would have a life that I would be tortured again and again and again in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, Caesar was broke at that point. Caesar was the one that was broken down. He said, if you kiss my head, I will let you go. Just bless me. I mean, listen, just bless me, kiss my head, and I will free you. Abdullah said, no, you have to free all the prisoners with me. He said, if you free everybody, then I will kiss your head. And they said, yes. So Abdullah ibn Hudhafa came and kissed the Qaisar head. And in one narration, he spat actually on his forehead. And he said, he thought that I kissed his head, but I didn't. But in that other book, in Tafsir ibn Kathir, actually this story is that he actually kissed his head. And then he let him free, and he let all the prisoners of war at that time, all the Muslims that are captured, to be free with him. And Umar ibn al-Khattab, when he heard this, he said, حَقٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ أَن يُقَبِّلَ رَأْسَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ ابْنُ حُذَافَ وَأَنَا أَبْدَأُ بِهَذَا. So Umar said, every Muslim has to kiss the head of Abdullah ibn Hudhafa. And he started by kissing the head of Abdullah, the forehead of Abdullah ibn Hudhafa. And this is how he honored people. This is how he valued the Muslims. The ones that it's not by the richness, not by the status, it's not by who's who and what's what. It is by the faith. It's by the strength of that faith that's in the hearts of people, and how strong their iman is, and how strong their religion is, and how much they're ready to sacrifice in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finally, it is narrated upon Umar ibn al-Khattab that he was among his companions. And this story known as Al-Ubniya al-Umariya, the Umari wishes. And he said to his companion, he was with some of his friends, and he said, wish something. Just wish for something. And one of his sahaba said, one of his companions, he said, أتمنى لو أن لي مثل جبل أحد ذهبا فأتصدق به. I wish that I have like mountain of Uhud gold. In one narration, like a house full of gold. So I would give it all in charity in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not wishing anything for themselves, brothers. Listen to this. And the man said, another man said, I wish if I have a valley filled with horses that I would give it to invade, to go in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a third man also wished for a house full of jewelry and precious stones that he would spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they looked to Umar and he said, تمنى أنت يا أمير المؤمنين. Why don't you wish, يا أمير المؤمنين? And then he said, أتمنى لو أن لي ملء هذا المسجد رجالا مثل أبي بكر. He said, I wish that I have this masjid full of people like Abu Bakr. That's what I would wish for. And another narration, he said, like Abi Bakr wa Abu Ubaida wa Mu'adh ibn Jabal wa Salim Mawla Abi Hudhayfa wa Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman fa'astamiluhum fi ta'atillah. I wish I have companions like these names that I mentioned, so I would use them in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the scale that Umar scaled people with, weighed people with, was the scale of deeds, the scale of iman. And it's not a scale of who's who, and as I said, and who is the elite, and who's the honorable, and who is son of who. And what, that's how Umar evaluated people, and that's how Umar felt that people should be evaluated. One time Abu Sufyan came to Umar, and he was made to wait at the door. Abu Sufyan is the elite of Quraysh, and he was a Muslim. And then he saw that Bilal ibn Rabah was introduced to Umar before him, and looked, Abu Sufyan was angry, and he said, لم أرك اليوم قط يؤذن لهؤلاء العبيد ويتركنا على بابه. That he would give permission to the slaves, meaning Bilal, and leave us, we the honorable, the elite, at the door. And Suhail ibn Amr, now the man Suhail ibn Amr looked at them and he said, اغضبوا على أنفسكم, be angry with yourself, don't be angry with Umar. He said, دعي القوم إلى الإسلام ودعيتم فأسرعوا وأبطأتم فكيف بكم إذا دعوا يوم القيامة وتركتم. Suhail ibn Amr, this man that Umar himself wanted one time to knock his teeth out, he said, those slaves that you're saying about that they are slaves, they're the ones that were called to come to Islam and they responded fast. And you are the one that were slow until the last days of Islam. You should, don't be angry with Umar, be angry with yourselves. You're the ones that were slow to embrace this religion. So don't feel now you should be before them coming to Umar. He said, on the day of judgment, they will be called before you to go into paradise. So don't be angry with them and don't be angry with Umar. See how Iman, how faith changed Suhail ibn Amr. The man that was so defiant at the time of Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, and he was arguing with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, here's the man how Iman, how faith reshaped his heart and made him the true faithful man that he is. So inshallah I will stop here and maybe we can have a comment or two and if you have anything to add inshallah to this today's session, go ahead and may Allah reward everybody. Jazakumullah khair. Speaks for itself what who Umar is. And what we went over today, just to wrap it up, is some attributes of Umar. His fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his humbleness in front of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his zuhud, his carefulness about this life, and his patience. And then we studied some of the social aspects of Umar's rule, like his caring for women and Medina and women Muslims and those who were left behind without a brother or a husband to take care of. And then we studied how Umar evaluated people and how he ranked people in his eyes and how he knew the importance of Iman and faith and made that the scale that he would measure people with. Jazakumullah khair. Yes, yes. You can still have prisoners of war, and there was many skirmishes and scouting missions and things like that, and people were captured. And one of the people that were captured in one of the saraya, in one of these scouting missions, was Abdullah ibn Hudhafa and the ones that were with him. It wasn't one of the like major battles like Yarmouk or Ajnadin or any of the others. Yes, Jazakallah. Kum salam. He's a potential Muslim. Jazakallah. Yes, brother. That's a really good question. Inshallah, we'll go over that a little bit more. How did Umar choose people to give him responsibilities? How he chose his governors for the territories that were conquered and all of that? We know in one saying that he said before, he would choose the Sahaba. He would try to choose the closer Sahaba, and he would try to spare the people of Badr. Because he thinks that government and giving somebody the duties of government, it's a big burden and may spoil somebody's work and somebody's good deed. And he would try to spare the people of Badr that. But he would, other than that, he would try to choose of the Sahaba that were closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that are known in their judgment and their ability to carry the job and their strength and their obedience to whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to do, and whatever Umar wanted to do in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in his political right. The next, inshallah, we will talk about the system that Umar put in place called Nizam al-Hisba. Al-Hisba can be translated as Inspector General. It's to have somebody in the government to check on the government. And this is what Umar invented 1500 years ago. He had people that all their job was to make sure that the government is doing its work right. And subhanAllah, I mean, this is one of the highest level of civilization and civilized government and civilized society, is to have government reviewing its own faults and its own mistakes and trying to correct it. And that's what Umar had. And we'll inshallah talk about that and how he did that next time, inshallah. Jazakum Allah khair. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You had a comment? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us those things that we don't know of our religion, and to make these sessions and these groups more than entertainment, inshallah, to make it things that we go home with and learn from the life of Umar ibn al-Khattab as we study how he evaluated men. Maybe inshallah we will learn how we should evaluate others as well, and how we should have respect to others the same way as well. When we study the zuhud of Umar ibn al-Khattab about his carelessness of life, know what important things, what important lessons we should take. Know how he respected others, how he dealt with others, how he showed mercy to the weak, the blind woman, the women in general in the society, the poor, how he cared for people. We make this life lessons that we take from the life of Umar ibn al-Khattab and apply it to our life and our behavior. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wal asri inna al-insana lafi khusr. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم.